presenting a positive portrayal of African-American men. That conversation is just ahead. And good Thursday morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect, always live on the radio. And now you can also catch our daily podcast. It's on iTunes. Just ahead, author Brooke Stevens on her new book, Men We Cherish. You can get on the line now. What are your thoughts about the portrayal of black men in the American popular culture? 549-2937 to join the show. Then later, the story of Rethreaded, as the local nonprofit celebrates its huge growth this Valentine's weekend. Plus, the famed Capital Steps will join us later in the hour, along with The Spectator. All of that ahead. But first, this morning, tonight, WJCT will present a powerful town hall event, Race in the River City. Hosted by our own Al Letson, the discussion will focus on race and the criminal justice system. Make sure to watch that tonight on television. Meanwhile, to counteract the often negative image of black men in American popular culture, local author Brooke Stevens is offering another perspective. It's all in the pages of her new book, Men We Cherish, African-American Women Praise the Men in Their Lives. Stevens will discuss all this at a meeting of the Pride Book Club this weekend in Jacksonville, and she's here now with a preview, along with the book club's Felice Franklin. Ladies, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Melissa. Great to see you.
Great to have you both on the show. And right now, we want to ask our callers, what are your thoughts about the portrayal of African-American men in our media and our popular culture? This is a wide-ranging discussion, and we want your contribution. So give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show, or you can weigh in on Facebook. So, Brooke Stevens, what motivated you to write this book?
Back in the 90s, we were planning a family reunion for my grandfather, especially to remember him. He had died recently. And at the time that I was doing the writing of a piece that we were going to present in the family newsletter, we were listening to so much on the radio, the O.J. trial, Mike Tyson going to jail, Mel Ryan in Chicago being jailed for molesting a 16-year-old, and all kinds of ugly images about black men were being paraded across the TV screen and on radio every night. And it hit me that as I was writing about my grandfather, I didn't know any men like this. And the question that came up in my mind is, where are the images, the stories, and I don't mean fictionalized stories, I mean the real, true-to-life stories of black men who have done the right thing, who have stayed with their families, who have raised their children, who have sacrificed very much in their lives to be good fathers and husbands and lovers and brothers and supportive images for us. Because whether we like it or not, for black women, much of our lives are shared and shaped by men, be that positive or negative, but we have to begin to acknowledge that everyone is not a monster and they haven't all been to jail. And frankly, as I thought about it, I realized, other than during the civil rights movement, when several of us were arrested for protesting, I don't know anybody who's ever been to jail. No one in my family had ever been arrested for anything other than civil rights protesting. So I thought it was time that we put something out there with a positive image because, you know, so many books of that era, Terry McMillan, a la so many other writers, were writing those, girl, let me tell you what he did to me kind of
like
stories.
Like Waiting to Exhale.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I said, wait a minute, you know, that may be true, but I've also managed to survive and get through life and been successful with the support of an awful lot of black men. And they don't seem to get any headlines. So I went around to many of my writer friends who were focusing mainly on fiction or something, because I was known as a personal finance writer.
And that's right. You haven't really delved into this subject matter before, have you?
No, I haven't. And this was one of those impulses where I got challenged. And if you know me at all, my ego will take a challenge seriously. So I talked to a lot of my white writer friends and said, like, hey, come on, why aren't we writing some more positive stories and telling about the images that we've grown up with? And where are we going to find somebody who's going to publish it? And say, well, you know, you got a big mouth and you know how. Go ahead and do it yourself.
Well, you were able to find a publisher, and in fact, this book is coming out on Valentine's Day weekend, or right around it. It's a love letter, isn't it, from women to men in their lives?
Yes. One of the first pieces in there is a love letter to black men from Donna Britt, who was a columnist with the Washington Post. And I had been reading her pieces, and I was very impressed by that when I had saved it. And Charlene Hunter-Galt, who is with PBS in South Africa, she had written a piece about the man who had gone to help her integrate the University of Georgia and how supportive it was to have him there with her. And I realized that I wasn't the only one, so I thought it was time to pull together some of these pieces and put them out there in print.
We'll go to your calls in just a moment on Brooke Stevens' new book, Men We Cherish, African-American Women Praise the Men in Their Lives. Felice Franklin, this will be the subject of a very interesting book club discussion coming up soon. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, it'll be taking place at the downtown library in the lounge at 3 o'clock. So we're really excited.
On Saturday, right?
On Saturday. Yes, this Saturday, which is Valentine's Day. And really, it just worked out because the library indicated that that day was available when we approached them about a meeting, because they normally will host the Pride Book Club meetings in Black History Month in February. And it was available, and it just happened to be February 14th, which was Valentine's Day. And Brooke has been a part of our group now for the past year, and we wanted to celebrate her, celebrate the writings, and we were just really excited that she was here in Jacksonville and had come here from New York. So we were excited to have her, and we're really excited about reading and discussing the book.
Well, and book clubs are wildly popular all over the country. People really enjoy the experience of reading it privately, but then getting in a group and talking about it. Why do you think that is?
I think because you have many perspectives, and our particular book club, we've been in existence for 21 years, so we just celebrated our 21st anniversary, and we have individuals that range in age from 20 to 80, and we actually have individuals in that total age brackets, and each one comes with a different perspective, and we have both men and women that are a part of our group, so that gives us, you know, diversity in thought, diversity in age, and we have racial diversity in our group also, so it gives us an opportunity to just voice opinions in a very fun setting that you may not always have an opportunity to do.
We argue and disagree sometimes, but basically I think one reason I like book clubs is because reading is a very isolated experience.
Right.
And you want to often share something that you are impressed by in a book and find out if someone else agrees with you on it. Or if you don't understand what you're reading, maybe you can get a different point of view from somebody else. And I've been in book clubs, at least 30 years. I mean, I've got one in New York that I'm a part of, and we are celebrating our 30th anniversary. So the membership has changed, but there are some of us who are hardcore readers who will stay with it and be excited, and we're also encouraging each other to become writers, too.
And lots of calls for author Brooke Stevens and Felice Franklin of the Pride Book Club as we ask you, what are your thoughts about the portrayal of African-American men in our popular culture? We're talking, it's our own book club today on the show, as we discuss the new book from Brooke, Men We Cherish, African-American Women Praise the Men in Their Lives. 549-2937 to join us. Stacy on the South Side. Hi, Stacy. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I just want to first off say thank you so much for tackling this subject matter and bringing it into the fore. And thank you, Melissa, for having it prominently displayed on your show.
Sure.
This is an issue that I think has been around since I was in high school. It has bothered me. I am a 50-year-old white female, and some of the most formative people in my life were black men, whether they were my coaches in high school or the principal of my elementary school, Mr. Wilson, at Glenside Weldon Elementary. I just am thankful that you're bringing this up. And I also wanted to say I'm really tired of the reformed thug that is seems to be the way black men are presented. It just isn't correct. And it bothers me. And I just thank you so much for presenting the positive. Keep at it.
Thanks, Stacy. Thanks for the call.
Stacy, I am so glad to hear that because I, like you, have looked around and wondered, where do they find these people? And whether we like it or not, we as African Americans, and frankly as human beings as a whole, we want to say, change the world and your point of view, and maybe we can move forward. Because, I mean, in the recent news, yes, the whole thing about Michael Brown, Jordan Davis, Trayvon Martin, yes, they're innocent, but perception of young black men is what has created so many of the problems. And we talk about communication being the issue. Well, you know, you're not going to communicate as long as you perceive somebody's a threat or a danger. And we have to begin to shift that point of view. And doing this writing has been so wonderful and enlightening to me, because we've got these statistics about black men in jail, black men leaving their families. And I'd like to share that one of the most important things I learned in editing this book, aside from the power you have of editing, that more than half of the submissions that I got were from women who wanted to write about their fathers.
Wow, that's great.
Which means that there are not an awful lot of single parent families out there where the father is gone. That may be what the media is telling us, but the statistics are not quite correct.
549-2937. Tim in Arlington. Hi, Tim. Tim in Arlington. Go ahead.
Hello, it's Chuck.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hi. Enjoying this very much. And I want to say to your authors, I think you're very lucky and very fortunate, and I think you're very blessed that you don't know people in jail. I know people in jail, and it's you're very fortunate if you don't. And I wanted to say something about whether and the people out there that we can deal with, whether it's Bill Clinton or Bill Cosby. It doesn't matter what color you are. You can be white or black and still have issues. The color, to me, is not an issue. Every person on the planet is either my brother or my sister, and I teach my children, ignore color. And I guess I would ask you, how, as far as me, I do not let someone else define me. And when I say define, and then I have this question to you, it somewhat frustrates me that Barack Obama is as white as he is black. But he defines himself as black. I have a friend who has two
but
children.
Chuck, no offense, but I don't think he defines himself as black. Society has defined him as black.
Exactly, and that's the problem.
No offense, Chuck. I'm just saying that people read him as black.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
I understand that, but he doesn't seem. I don't feel that he represents the white population with as much enthusiasm as he represents the black. And that's okay. Again, for me, color is irrelevant. I don't care. He's my brother. And my goal is to not let.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. That's Chuck at the beaches. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Brooke.
I'm sorry, Chuck, but the universe we live in does not happen to be that liberal in their thinking, because the perceptions that occur in our society are based upon a history which we do not seem to want to acknowledge and deal with. And color is still a very major aspect of how we are defined in this society. People don't even bother to get to know you and find out who you may be until they get past what they see in you. And if they see you as being a black person, which is threatening to them, or they have had some negative experience before, I am not an individual to them. I am a representation of something that they fear. So you may not care about color, but trust me, an awful lot of people, especially in Jacksonville, are still hung up on color.
And Chuck, I do appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for and we want everyone's unvarnished opinions and thoughts. Go ahead, Felice.
Yes, I would say to Chuck, don't tell your children not to see or to recognize color. I think that we really need to celebrate our similarities, but we also need to celebrate our differences. And when I look in the mirror, I know what I see as a black female. And I think that you should encourage your children and other young people to recognize it, but don't use that as a filter and using it against individuals. Don't judge them based on just their color, but do see the color just as we see differences in a salad, and it's a tossed salad, that we look at society and we see the differences in the individualities of individuals.
And I appreciate everybody's calls on this. Tim in Arlington. Sorry, Tim, I pressed the wrong button a minute ago. Go ahead, Tim.
No problem. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a musician. I'm a white guy. I'm a musician, and I've known a lot of amazing black men that have helped me along and taught me things, and also, like the previous caller said, coaches, teachers. And honestly, you know, I know people in jail or who've been in jail, and me personally, all the people I know that have been in jail are white. But I also don't like the
Why
way
Why are
the
we getting all these calls from people who have friends in jail? Just interesting today.
Well,
I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead.
If you've been around long enough, it just happens that way.
Yeah.
But you also see in the media how everything is portrayed as black men are portrayed either occasionally they're portrayed as the hero or they're portrayed as the antagonist or a thug. You never see films, or rarely at least see films, where a black man is, you know, where they just show him as a family man or a regular person in a drama. Those are extremely rare that you don't see that. It's always one. It's either one extreme end or the other.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all I've got to say. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Tim. The previous caller, Chuck, mentioned Bill Cosby. You know, I think one of the reasons that whole drama with Cosby was so painful mm-hmm. was because he was a his sitcom yeah. was a positive portrayal of an intact, functional nuclear family that happened to be black, an upper middle class family. You know, that it made his whole scandal even more painful,
well,
I think, because he was such an important representation for folks.
Exactly, and that is something that we are still going to have to live with and work on, but I'm making my effort to try and change the perspective of how we see everybody.
Nick in Jacksonville, thanks for holding. Nick, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Actually, I was calling in regards to actors and characters that are portrayed on TV, and actually one of the number one shows is Walking Dead. When you look at the cast, a lot of them are actually black actors and actresses, and they're portrayed as, you know, heroic, decent people and whatnot. And it's kind of refreshing to see that rather than just an all-white cast or whatnot. But, I mean, some of the most endearing characters have been black, like most recently Tyrese. I don't know if anybody keeps up on the show, but he passed away, and that, you know, it hurt a lot of people, you know, when that character left, you know, because he was big, strong, but he was gentle. I mean, and he was a kind person, and it was nice to see that.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for the call. Lots of calls about this topic, if you're just tuning in, as we welcome author Brooke Stevens on her book, Men We Cherish, African-American Women Praise the Men in Their Lives, 549-2937, Joe in St. John's. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment, you know, what Chuck said earlier about Obama, you know, trying to be more black than white. And the reality is he's half and half. He's just not a very good president. But, like, just put that aside. You know, earlier your guest said something about Michael Brown being innocent. And I'm trying to think, like, innocent of what? Because the grand jury found that he was guilty of quite a few things when I came up with their verdict. And I'll leave the rest to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Joe in St. John's.
First of all, Joe, I did not say he was innocent. I simply said that he was a figure in the news that brought up this concept. Okay? And as for Barack Obama, please, he is perceived by the world as being black. Who his mother was just isn't in the records that much.
Here's a tweet from Lisa. When asked how he defines himself, Obama did say black. That's sparking a lot of response this
mm-hmm.
morning. Let's go to Autumn in Orange Park. Go ahead, Autumn. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I just wanted to, yesterday I saw on YouTube, it was a little quick, like, mini documentary about actors and actresses, people of color, who have call sheets, and how 70% of casting agents are looking for, you know, every time they go for a casting, it's like 70% are for white people only, and the people who are people of color are asked to portray thugs or convicts or, you know, all these derogatory stereotypes. It's always a stereotype. They said almost very rarely is it anything except for some kind of stereotype. They always say to, they want you to go, like, more ethnic is one of the words, one of the terms they were using. And it was so disheartening to see something like that. And I can only imagine, I'm a white woman, And I can't imagine having to, you know, you battling your whole life and then to not even be able to choose your chosen profession because you have to play these stereotypes. And I just wanted to comment on that and say, you know, if anybody hasn't seen that, they should go check it out because it's quite humbling. It's just so much white privilege and so much unrecognized white privilege. And I try to teach my children about that. And, you know, white people can go to the grocery store and get, you know, 1,000 different shampoos for their hair type. But, you know, there's a little small area for black people. And it's just, it's hard. It's sad.
Autumn, thanks for the call. Felice, lots of calls coming in. Just a preview of your book club discussion coming up on Saturday.
Yes, the book club will be discussing Brooke's book, Men We Cherish, at 3 o'clock at the Downtown Library in the lounge. And it is open and free to the public. And there are really some really great stories within the book. And I know that we've talked a lot about the portrayal of African-American men in movies, television, and in the media. But in the book, there are very positive stories, and some of the stories are that of individuals talking about their brothers. Well, one particular story person is talking about her brother coming home from the hospital. She's not very excited about the fact of having a brother. And then you read through the story, and by the time you get to the end of the story, she is talking about what a gift her brother has been to her throughout her life and the love that exists between them, which in the beginning, she only wanted her brother to go back to wherever it was that he came from. So I think that as we're talking about a number of different things, there are things within this particular book and will be a part of the discussion that aren't necessarily how individuals are portrayed in the media, but how we actually feel about each other's and the loved ones in our life.
And here's a comment on our Facebook page. The portrayal of black men has been improving steadily, but we still struggle to be seen as individuals or to have the high standard that the vast majority of us live our lives by become the narrative. Mainstream America is quick to believe stereotypes and slow to embrace the truth. We are more like A. Philip Randolph than the minstrel show characters that have been propped up. If we black men were not strong, loving, compassionate, community-minded, we wouldn't all be here today. It's a matter of survival. Let's go now to Ed in St. Augustine. Go ahead, Ed. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was calling to comment on the fact that the broader picture in media actually has done a lot of damage. I have many people that I work with of all types. But what I was surprised about was when I've been in Europe or when I've had European friends over, the media hasn't taken responsibility for the portrayal of the young black individual as a thug with a gun, with lots of booty, with lots of whatever. And I've actually had European friends come here, and they see black people and they're afraid of them because of what they've seen. And you know, I kind of say this is when you've got these moguls, this is a type of black on black crime that isn't recognized when you're out portraying these people this way. And I know it's a portrayal of power, it's entertainment, and yet in the worldwide scope, where in countries where they don't have as much contact with real people, they come to America and the vision of them as these types of thugs and whatever. And when people of color travel overseas, they don't understand, you know, some of the treatment that they get over there. And again, once again, we've been shipping over our B-movies, shipping over our gangster rap, and this is what they're saying. Moreover, it's frightening, you know, the good guys, you know, they want to emulate this sense of power, this, you know, empowerment of that they see the man with all the money, the man with all the jewelry and all the stuff, the bling. And they're not like that at all, but it gives off a frightening image.
Yeah, that's Ed in St. Augustine. Lots of interesting callers this morning.
It
Brooke
is,
Stevens.
Yes. I find that Ed's right. The one thing that we have been able to export very easily from this country is all of our images of racism, and the world really does respond to what we present to them as how they choose to see black men in this country.
And you wrote this book intentionally to counteract that. And there have been other recent creative standouts. For example, I think of Shonda Rhimes and all of the shows
yes.
she produces.
Oh God, she's my hero.
where in her world, on her television shows, a character is just a character. They're not defined by their race or ethnicity, is what I'm trying to say. Let's go to Katie in Jacksonville. Hey, Katie, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
I love the topic. I'm half Hispanic, half black, and living in South America, moved to Jacksonville. I have never been racial discriminatory any way, shape, or form, but I feel in Jacksonville, not only to men, also to women. Women's powerful, dominant work environment that is different to understand that they are a mix coming from like white and black. It is extremely difficult for somebody to understand where you're coming from. And that doesn't leave even behind the example of father I have, which is black, Hispanic but black, that I follow. You know, my father is my example in life. And I don't think anyone should be stereotyped to anything. You need to give chance to people to understand who they are besides their image or appearance or personality. That's all I have to say, girl.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Katie. Okay. So let's close with one more call out for this weekend's Pride Book Club. People can come to this free event, right?
Yes, they can. And once again, it's going to be held at the Downtown Library, 303 Laura Street. And it will be in the lounge, which is where the old bookstore was, if you're familiar with the library, at 3 p.m. And we will be discussing Men We Cherish, African-American Women Praise the Men in Their Lives. So we look forward to seeing individuals coming out.
And I will have copies of the book there for sale in case you haven't been able to get a copy.
Brooke Stevens, Felice Franklin, thanks for joining us. Great discussion.
My pleasure, Melissa.
Thank you for having us.
Again, that's the February Pride Book Club meeting on Men We Cherish, Saturday, Valentine's Day at 3 o'clock. At the main library in downtown Jax. Much more still ahead later. A look at all this weekend's events, plus the famed Capitol Steps join the show. You won't want to miss that. And up next, the growth of Jacksonville's own Rethreaded, how they're sewing a new story for women in a moment.
From the moment you wake up, through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep. Protesters have been
through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings beginning at 5 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, Reveal.
The first thing we knew is that this story is going to be about people trying to keep secrets.
Tracking down what one powerful religious hierarchy was keeping under wraps.
How come we didn't hear about the seriousness of his past, you know?
Find out on the next Reveal. There's always more to the story. Saturday at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
This Friday on Closing the Loop, Bernie Katzman is an improvisation pianist with a skill for reaching Alzheimer's patients through his music. He also has a family and 9 dogs. All of it makes Jacksonville perfect for him. Closing the Loop, every Friday during Morning Edition and All Things Considered on 89.9 WJCT.
Closing the Loop is sponsored in part by First Coast Home Pros, local specialists in carpet, grout, and upholstery cleaning.
Welcome back. Well, ever since debuting as the top vote-getter at the city's inaugural One Spark Festival, the local profit ReThreaded has really been on a roll. Founded as a way to help women caught in trafficking and prostitution, ReThreaded helps women sew a new story by upcycling materials in beautiful new ways. This Saturday night, the organization will celebrate Valentine's Day with a special event, including some love poetry. ReThreaded founder and executive director Kristen Keene is here now with a preview. Hey there.
Hey, Melissa.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
So your Freedom Mukti fundraiser is coming up at the new Unity Plaza, which is a great new space over in Brooklyn. What's going to be happening?
This event, we are one of the first events to be at the Unity Plaza, so we're super honored for this. And we are going to be having a night of celebration of hope and love. So we will be having a cocktail hour with Bold City Brewery. We're going to be having Conscious Eats. We're going to have an around-the-world dining experience. So you actually get a passport and you get it stamped. And then we're going to have some celebrity poetry readings, which I think that you, Melissa, will be participating.
I am honored to be part of this. And I'm in good company. Dolores Weaver is going to read a poem, I understand.
Yes.
And some other great people. So this is happening Saturday night, and it's a way to support what you do. The money raised will help with this incredible effort. The concept is simple, but really transformative.
Yes, we are trying to break the cycle of the sex trade through business. So we are trying to provide jobs for women who are coming out of extreme trauma, extreme violence, and just need a second chance.
Absolutely. And you've employed women who've changed their lives. You're actually going to be hiring more women, which is exciting.
Yes, we're so excited. We've already been able to hire two this year, and we're hoping to hire two more in the next couple of days. It's very, very exciting.
So cool. And this is a great Valentine's Day gift. Kristen has on ReThreaded's famous gray scarf because it's a little chilly today. I have one myself. You have a special Valentine's Day deal for these gray scarves or any of your products. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, we will be. The beautiful thing about our Valentine's Day gifts is that they change lives. So not only do you get to bless the loved one in your life, you get to change a life. So we're going to be at Tres Leches on the 13th and the 14th, and we'll have our pink tent set up out front. And they're offering a special deal. If you take a picture of Tres Leches and put it on your Facebook page, Instagram, then you get a free glass of beer, wine the next time you go dine there. So they're trying to help us raise awareness as well to help break the cycle.
Yeah, and that's Tres Leches off Stockton in Riverside. Come on out and support ReThreaded and that company that way. And come on out Saturday night to the Freedom Fundraiser. People can still register, right?
Yes, there's still tickets. And we are really close to selling out. So if you're going to get tickets, I would get them today because we have sold out every year. So I'm just saying that. I can't give you tickets if you call me on Saturday in a panic. Get your tickets today.
I'm looking forward to being there. Thanks so much, Kristen. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks, Melissa.
It's ReThreaded, sewing a new story with their Freedom Fundraiser this Saturday night at Unity Plaza, ReThreaded.com. See you there. And we're back in a moment with Carrie Speckman and the Capital Steps.
Thad Starner invented a wearable computer back in the early 90s.
He named her Lizzie, and he went everywhere with her.
You really do feel superhuman at that point.
But where did Lizzie stop and Thad begin?
Because it's invisible, it's more likely to influence you and have an effect on you.
I'm Elise Spiegel.
And I'm Lulu Miller. Can computers change us?
On the next episode of Invisibilia from NPR.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Join us weeknights at 7 for music. From symphonies to the latest indie music, you'll hear it all weeknights at 7, only on 89.9 FM.
Deep below sea, darling on
on the next Diane Rehm Show. Nearly 75% of people in U.S. jails are there for nonviolent offenses. Many are too poor or mentally ill to get themselves out. New calls for reform for our local criminal justice system. Weekdays at 10, right after First Coast Connect on 89.9 FM WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, if you're still making plans for Valentine's Day this weekend, you might want to check out the second annual Jazz on the Bridge at the Downtown Library. This romantic fundraising concert benefits the Bridge of Northeast Florida, and it'll feature three live jazz performances with Miles J. Davis, Allison Williams, and Billboard-ranked musician Marcus Johnson. Johnson told me jazz is the perfect type of music for a romantic night out like Valentine's Day.
I don't think there's anything that goes better, really, because it's so versatile, and it's you know, jazz and its improvisational style is very much an expression. And so, you know, it just goes very well. Good times, good people, great experience, great ambiance.
And that's Jazz on the Bridge this Saturday night, Valentine's Day, the main library. Get your tickets at bridgejacks.com. Meanwhile, from Jerry Seinfeld to Diana Ross and Harry Connick Jr., lots of big names and fun stuff going on this weekend around town. Here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, Jacksonville Magazine's Carrie Spangman here today.
Hey.
Hello there.
Good morning.
I had no idea. This weekend alone, we're going to speak to the Capitol steps in a minute, which is so exciting. It's its own thing. But we have Seinfeld, Diana Ross, and Harry Connick Jr.
Yes.
all in town at the same time.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, at 2 in the morning, someone stumbled into the Omni Bar and they were all, like, sitting there together or something? That will never occur,
That
of
would
course.
Be awesome.
Yeah, but anyways.
Maybe I'll hang around there about 2.
You'll stalk them.
Yeah.
Seinfeld in town Friday night.
Yes, he is. I think, like you were saying, you hadn't maybe heard. They announced it so long ago, I think, because people were going to want to buy tickets.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's all new stuff.
He likes to get out and do stand-up.
He does.
Yeah, and are there still a few tickets left for him?
I believe so. Okay. If I were him, I would just be lying by my pool, counting my money.
But I know, right?
I guess that's...
He enjoys it.
It's 7 p.m. Friday, Times Union.
Okay, and then also this weekend, it's the 8th annual 26-2 with Donna... The marathon.
Ugh,
and the health and
makes me tired to even,
you know, she was here yesterday
it.
And she was saying, you know, you could do a fun run or you can just walk.
There's no fun in running. I'm sorry. There's no such thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But this is a great event, and it's the 8th annual. It will take over the beaches.
Well, and downtown
because they will be at the Prime Osborne. That's right.
And where I will be judging a costume contest on Saturday morning.
Very nice.
I don't get up at 8 in the morning for just anybody.
No, you do not.
But for Donna, I will.
You'll do it for Donna.
And then they're having their huge expo at the fairgrounds.
All right. Now, I have to jump ahead on your list because
Jump away, sister.
I am stunned to hear that Diana Ross. I did not know she was coming to town.
Wait,
Diana Ross is in this city.
I am here every week, and you would think that you would know these things.
I had no idea.
I guess you only know what I tell you for this weekend.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's
She's
about
at the
right.
Florida Theater.
You are my source on all things.
Well, then I better send you like a heads up months in advance so you know that.
Yeah.
So, yes, she will be here on Saturday. At the Florida Theater, I'm sorry.
She's going to be performing. Does she just sing, or does she kind of come out and talk a little to the audience?
You know,
how does it go?
I have not been privy to that information, but I would imagine she would probably
talk. You're
too
busy running the Riverside Arts Market these
I'm
days.
I'm too busy doing everything.
You're very,
how can she
very
not talk?
Busy.
She's got to tell stories and stuff.
That's
she's got
what
some great
I
stories.
Want to hear the stories.
Well, you know
stories.
What? Let's tweet her and tell her.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll respond right
I'm
away.
I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
We'll let her know.
Okay, so that's Diana Ross, Saturday night at the Florida Theater. The Model Train and Railroad Show is also at the Prime Osborne Saturday.
Railroadiana.
That'll be competing with Donna for space. That's a completely random other thing, but
I know.
Sounds kind of interesting.
Yes, Model Trains and Railroadiana. Rodiana? How do you say it?
Railroadiana, I think. Well, it used to be a railroad station.
It did, which would be the perfect place for it to be. So
Now that's Saturday.
They're going to get there and see all these people in pink and tutus and feathers and say, what in the heck is going on here?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting group of people running through. But and then also we talked about Rethreaded. And then last but not least, it's Fitness Fest this Saturday. What's going on with that?
The cool thing, it's presented by JOI, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, and Godspeed Elite Sports Performance. And it's to encourage families and youths ages 7. Did I say youths? Sorry. 7 to 17 to live healthier lifestyles.
And I have to quickly mention, we are going to be hosting a mayoral debate here at WJCT.
Gosh, finally. Yes. Yay.
I know, right? But meanwhile, you have offered to moderate a Twitter debate, it's my understanding, between the fake mayoral Twitter candidates who are very active on Twitter.
Yes. Jack's Mayor Brown said, let me know when. Last time I asked, the Lenny said, let me check my calendar.
That's Lenny Curry's satirical account.
He said, let me check my calendar and see when I'm available. And then he came back and said, I'm not available ever.
Maybe that's because you're the moderator. I don't know.
No. They're all four, including Omega Allen.
They're all we don't know yet. We're still confirming the candidates.
March 12th.
But I just want you to let us know when you will be moderating the mock debate. Can you do that?
It's a real debate between fake accounts.
Exactly. That's how we should tag it.
Oh, totally. I will let you know.
Speaking of taglines, well, stick around, Speckman, because finally this hour, they are the famed Washington, D.C. troop putting the mock in democracy.
My fellow Americans, as you may know, there's a big fight brewing over the Keystone Pipeline. This makes me very angry. Sorry for that outburst. But the Republicans will probably pass it, and I'll have to use my veto power. Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I already wrote a statement if that happens.
Ain't no pipeline now, it's gone. Move that oil some other way. No, the last thing that I do is hurt some caribou. Put a pipeline in their way.
It's the beloved Capitol Steps. They're in town this week, a public radio mainstay. The Capitol Steps began decades ago as a bipartisan small group of Senate staffers. Now they're a Washington institution as the singers provide a unique blend of musical and political comedy. They are in town for 8 shows only. We've got a special treat right now as we welcome cast member Dolores Williams. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Ooh. Brad Van Grack.
Hello,
He's in costume right now as Bill Clinton.
Hey, thank you so much.
And Morgan Duncan in costume as President Barack Obama.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Wow. I can't believe we have two presidents in Studio 5 at the same time. Gentlemen, what an honor to have you both.
It's a pleasure to be here.
and I hope to be first man next year as well.
Well, let's not leave Dolores out. Who do you play in the show?
Oh, my goodness. I am Dianne Feinstein, and I've requested a report from the CIA.
Okay.
We also have Hillary.
Okay.
Who's got high hopes.
Right.
And I wish we had Sarah Palin, but it doesn't look like she's going to be in our show. Not this time.
We don't plan to see her ever making a trip to Washington at this point.
But she can see you from her house.
Okay. So I would think in the last year especially, you guys, when you sit and figure out what your material's going to be, I would think that's almost more fun than doing the performances, just deciding what songs you're going to do. And
it's a target-rich environment.
Exactly. Can you tell me, give me a window into how that works, because it's kind of fascinating.
Well, the trick is to find the right song for the right issue. Just to give you an example, we had a thought of putting Barack and Hillary as partners working together. And so the thought was, that song Ebony and Ivory, that would work really well.
Sure.
So our writers got together and crunched that out, and it became Ebony and Ovaries.
we have to allow for change every once in a while. But our main concern and our biggest nightmare is that the politicians will get together and become, you know, competent at some point.
And then you have no
at which point,
and
we're out of the business.
Then we have nothing.
But you've got nothing.
Unfortunately, we've been going
strong. It's a shame.
Now, okay, Clinton, everybody has a Bill Clinton impression, just about. Barack Obama's a little tougher to do, but can you guys both give me a little bit of your best Clinton and your Obama, just so people can really hear it?
Well, I don't know. I think Morgan actually is Obama sometimes.
Oh, really?
So that's the thing. I mean, if you have to see him, that's a large part of it, too, because this guy looks like Obama. But
I count that as high praise, actually. You know, from where I'm sitting, that sounds like high praise to me. But that's you go ahead and do your Bill.
Okay, hold my hand. just a little bit nervous. Yeah. So you guys, that was great. That was a great act. I liked the whole railroad thing and everything you guys were talking about. That was really interesting. We could sit here all day and watch that. That was fun. And big stars and Diana Ross and everything. We have a lot of stars in our show, by the way.
Oh, really?
Nancy Pelosi, I think, is the biggest one. Harry Reid, we got in the show. We've got even Justin Bieber makes a few appearances.
Oh,
there.
Really? So, well. Is that right?
You got to have the Biebs, I guess. I put them in there for my daughters, you know, who are big fans.
Now, bipartisanship is a big part of this. It was formed by a bipartisan mm-hmm. group of Senate staffers. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons it seems that you've been so popular for so long is you really – you don't respect either party at all.
Equal opportunity offenders.
We respect them both equally. Yeah.
We love them all.
You love them all and make fun of them all equally.
We welcome them all. And Florida has been a tremendous help to us.
We're glad to help you out.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We'll take that help anytime.
Do it without you.
We find that one side will screw up. The Democrats will screw up, and then the Republicans will party, and then the Republicans will screw up, and then the Democrats will party. And that's how we have the two-party system. I mean, that's how that formed.
Don't the politicians love to be mocked by you, too?
They do. They do. And sometimes they get pretty touchy if they're not mentioned in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you name names?
I cannot name names. That would not be fair. But I did. We were performing on Capitol Hill, and some senator walked up to me and said, what, I'm not important enough?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. So it's the opposite of what people might think.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we did a show for George Bush Sr., and all of his handlers were like, you know, lay off, you know, keep it good, keep it away. And then after the show, he came up and so was like, hey, guys, where was the stuff about me? Come on, I want to see it. Bring it on.
That's great. And and the three of you have been with this troupe for a while now, haven't you?
I think I'm the new guy at 13 years.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a newbie. I've been with the group for 17 years.
Wow.
And Brad?
23.
Get out. Yeah. And I came in during 15. The Clinton days, so it was just, oh, my goodness. No, so just, much fun.
I bet.
The golden years.
So once you get a job with the Capitol Steps, that you hang on to that job.
Who wants to leave?
Yeah, who
Come
wants
on,
to leave?
Really?
It's the best gig in the world.
Now, you're in Jacksonville for a few shows. You do some traveling. How busy is the performance schedule? How many shows do you do in Washington?
We do our show every Friday and Saturday night in Washington, but we do other shows. We do corporate shows in town. So, yeah.
And it's enough of us. We can cover four shows a night. Five in a pinch. I've done that. But it's four, you know, we can cover four shows a night. And an example, we're here in Jacksonville. We have other troops around and we mix and match. So the next time you see us, it might be me and two other guys. Uh-huh. It might be two other women. So we're like garanimals.
Mix and match. Very nice.
A garanimals reference. I like that.
Yes.
And you can check out our website, of course, for the public show stuff, you know, different
all
parts
the country.
Of town.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
It's great to have you back in town. It's so popular to have people love it when you come through. And luckily, it's pretty chilly down here, but not quite as bad as it is up
in
D.C.
I think it's 23 in D.C. today.
Yeah. Oh. So I hope you enjoy your stay in Florida and pick up some new material, of course.
Oh, cool.
It's the Capitol Steps 8 shows only through Sunday at the Wilson Center for the Arts at FSCJ South. The amazingly funny Capitol Steps. Get your tickets now at Artist Series Jax, artistseriesjax.org. Cast members Dolores Williams, Brad Van Greck, and Morgan Duncan. Have a great time, and thanks so much for stopping in with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And that's our program. Thanks so much to all of our guests and callers. The show's producer is Sean Birch. Our show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. If you have feedback about the program, just send an email to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And make sure to catch our daily podcast. It's now up on iTunes. Next on Diane Rehm, nearly 75% of people in U.S. jails are therefore nonviolent offenses. Many are too poor or mentally ill to get themselves out. A look at new calls for reform of our local criminal justice systems. That's next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. See you then.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.